open our study to, that is, question is posed, what will happen to the church when the Lord returns? We'll just read the opening verses, Revelations 19, verses 7 through 9. Revelations 19, 7 through 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife shall have made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And then verses 11 through 14. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean.
Just one comment before as we get into this. We all know that at the rapture, the church will be taken up to be with the Lord. And the question really we'd like to address now is, having been taken up with the Lord, what's our future? We know that on the earth there's going to be a period of tribulation to complete Daniel's 70th week. But what about us? Where would we be? And this is what we'd like to get into now. Where will the church be after the rapture has taken place? That's our exercise for this period of time. I also want to point out that the reading will finish at around 3. We will take a little break, and then we'll have open ministry of gospel at that time. So we can, that's the time we have to for the actual reading.
Can I just pick up on the point that was raised before the break as to what sort of bodies we're going to have? And our brother was saying, what he was saying really is that we are finite creatures, but our Lord Jesus Christ is an infinite being. He's one of the persons in the Godhead. And as such, although on our side he became man, and we are going to be eternally associated with him, yet his distinctiveness as the Son of God should always be maintained. And therefore, as finite beings, there are things we know, but there are also things that we don't know. And when we come to 1 John 3, we're told, beloved, now are we children of God. We are children of God. That's something we can know with certainty. But John goes on to say, and what we shall be has not yet been manifested. We know that if it is manifested, or if he be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So even though we don't know what we shall be, we know that we are going to be like him. We'll be like him in order to see him as he is, and we'll see him as he is because we're like him.
So it is safe to say that we will be like him as the Son of Man. As far as deity and the expressions of the brethren was sufficient, we became partakers of divine nature, but we are not divine. So once we have this, we can say that living in the good of the hope of his coming, it also brings practical conformity to his image. Because one of the things that we didn't touch much about is in 1 John chapter 3, the verse was just read, that he that has this hope within him, what's the behavior? What is the outcome of living in such a hope, it produces the sense of purity. That he will be pure as, what's the measure? What's the standard? As he is pure. And brethren, really, if we are in the good of the hope of his coming, that we want to see him, we want to be with him, we want to be occupied with him through the endless ages of eternity, it will bring conformity in our own lives, practically even here.
There is something that takes place also after the rapture that we're not discussing, and I don't want to speak at length, but just to mention, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read of the fact that we will stand before the Lord and he will review our individual lives, not for the sake of whether or not we're saved or not, but rather to review what we did for his glory. And that will be also the occasion when rewards will be given out. We call that the judgment seat of Christ or the tribunal of Christ. And this will take place also after the rapture. It's for believers. It's actually a good thing because we'll be able to agree with our Lord our motives of why we did what we did and how we did it. Did we do it in the energy of the Spirit or in our own flesh and so forth? And they'll set the things of our past completely out of view at that point, and we'll only have the Lord as our focus after that. And then we come to this marriage supper that we were reading about.
Also determines your place in the world to come. Not this world, but the world to come. Not heaven. The blood of Christ takes each to heaven, all equal. But in the world to come, there'll be differences. Some may read them in 5 cities, 10 cities, whatever that means. It's his relationship to the world to come. What we do for Christ unselfishly determines your position and my position in the world to come. The world to come is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. The rest of the latter part of Ephesians 1, the world to come. Hebrews 2, angels shall not rule in the world to come. No, they don't rule. Moses' logic don't rule. The Lord Jesus rules in the world to come. And we live and reign with him 1,000 years. But as far as going to heaven, that's equal. The blood of Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
So the world to come, Brother Bob, is referring to during the millennium, during his millennial reign.
The world to come. We call it millennium, 1,000-year reign of Christ. Or age to come. What a glorious age. It'll be the most glorious, the most magnificent age that God has in his dispensation. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Not this world, but the world to come. It has to be. Because the Lord Jesus has been dishonored in this world. He's going to be highly honored in the world to come.
Concerning the earth.
Pardon? No, he'll be on earth and heaven too. See, because he's omnipresent. How can he be on earth and reign and also be in heaven? Because he's omnipresent. How can every believer walk and talk with the Lord Jesus? Wouldn't we get there? Not sitting in a bleacher somewhere and watching him pass by. But each of us will have a personal walk and talk with the Lord Jesus because he's omnipresent. How can he be with us down here? He's omnipresent. The Son of Man, who's in heaven, he was standing on earth when he said that.
I was just a suggestion to connect back with what Bill had said, the judgment seat of Christ, when that it would free us from anything of self that we would have had in our in the sense of work. It will free us completely so we can enjoy him and the Father's house and enjoy this wonderful scene we read about in Revelation 19. We won't have any hindrances then, because the flesh will be gone forever. Praise God for this. And we'll be able to enjoy the Lord without any spot or blemish in us.
But that will take place, this very same thing will take place at the moment where our body has changed. The flesh is gone, and we are going to bear his image, and we're going to be like him. But as Brother Bell was speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, when we all will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And there it is now, it is a matter of reward. It is a matter of what the Lord will impart to us. Sure, our life will be reviewed, but we will be just like in his image, having his mind, having his judgment in concerning everything. This is not the throne of judgment here. This is the bima. It's a place where the athlete would receive their reward. That is a word that is used there. It's not the word throne. It is the word that it's a seat where after you run the marathon or whatever, you get your medal in there. And that's really the place where is this righteousness of saints will be awarded. And that is, I believe, the first thing that will take place when the moment we will get there.